two promising new power plants about to take flight at Sonix Aircraft. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. At EAA AirVenture this year, Sonix Aircraft, which calls Whitman Regional Airport its home, brought out some novel airframe ideas, but also two power plants which may have application for builders outside the Sonix product line. One is the much-publicized eFlight initiative, which appears to be on the verge of bearing fruit after more than a decade and a half of development effort by the Sonix team. But the other goes back to home-built aviation's early roots, a turbocharged version of the AeroV, the air-cooled VW engine conversion, and it's said to make over 100 horsepower. That engine hadn't even been hinted at in the company's online and press release efforts, but it may prove a very economical alternative to the current Sonix piston upgrade, the Jabiru 3300. I got some details on both projects at AirVenture, starting with CEO Jeremy Monette on the electric power plant, which was provided prime display real estate in the Aviation Learning Center by the Experimental Aircraft Association.
EAA is clearly devoting space to what I consider to be the sure thing of the future, and that is electric power plants. It's something that Sonix Aircraft has devoted a tremendous amount of research and development time and money to. We've got a very dedicated team, and in my opinion, the leaders on what we're doing right now. And that's just kind of addresses maybe a little known fact about Sonix Aircraft really being known for our airframes and famous for our airframes, our Sonix, Wags, and Xenos. But an increasing percentage of our business, and I estimate about half our business this past year, came from the AeroV power plant, which I know you'll be talking about in the next segment. But also, I anticipate that they'll be using the same model where our power plants can be used on other aircraft designs and kind of open up the appeal. We're looking to have the same success with our eFlight electric power plant system. The whole point is of the electric is in looking forward and seeing that fossil fuels will continue to become more scarce. We obviously want to limit our carbon footprint in the world. We obviously want to be responsible as a company for what we do. So that's where all these leading indicators, and my father and the rest of the team, Pete Buck is the other major team member, an engineer and designer who's on our team, as well as a newer team member who's got just as much moxie and genius, and that is Andrew Pierce, who's kind of our electrical guy and started life as a customer, a Sonix builder, and now is one of the four heads on the eFlight electric system. But anyway, just being responsible and working night and day in our spare time on this incredibly intriguing project.
All right, well, tell me about what challenges remain to be solved, because I know the history of this company with electric power goes back to the mid-90s.
Honestly, to get it in the air, a few annoyances, and they're really a few. How far we've come in this project is beyond the scope of this interview. Literally, we have hundreds of hours, I'm not exaggerating by saying that, of video footage, of team meetings, of the documentation of how we've gotten to this point. But we really started the project just as a real bullet-pointed guide to the way we've done this project. We started in 2007, and that's when we introduced it at AirVenture, a little before that show. And the original intention of the team was basically to go out to industry and find off-the-shelf motors, off-the-shelf controllers, off-the-shelf battery packages, and kind of put them together in a system and go fly one of our aircraft. That really is, in a nutshell, what we were trying to do. Well, we started down that path, and we found this technology simply did not exist. And, you know, the logical way to do it would be to scale. A lot of us are flying electric RC models now. In fact, most of us in the RC world are flying those. And so we originally took and sought to scale the technology up from those little motors. Well, obviously we found as the horsepower increased and we came up with our first few designs of the motor and the controllers, there's a lot of issues with scaling that technology. You have to have a very Strong handle on things like commutation of the electric motor. You have to have a very strong handle on things that cause spikes in the system, especially at high voltage. And to be honest, as we found the hard way in many of our endeavors here, is that that technology needed to be developed by us. And so again, I feel the day that our eFlight system flies, which hopefully will be very soon, we never say when, because who knows. But again, it taxi tested just before the show, and we were doing demonstrations at the ALC this week. But the bottom line is, the day that flies, it will be one of, if not the most advanced electric-powered aircraft in the world by a little company like Sonix Aircraft. I think that's just amazing.
Well, it was amazing to see your plane sitting in there with Sikorsky. I thought that was a great comparison.
Sikorsky on one side, General Electric on the other side, Ford on the other side. These are big names, folks, yeah. And we realize that. Really, our core and our roots continue to be an EAA in the home-built movement, and that's what gets us excited, is being able to do extraordinary things on a less-than-extraordinary budget. So in order to do that, it really, the sweat equity never goes away. So we kind of joke about it. We're like, you know, for a large company to develop the technology the way we have, you know, it would be millions of dollars. We don't joke about that. It's just fact. And the reason it would is all those hours would be billable. They'd be on somebody's time, and these would be high-level engineers and designers. So everybody else who tries to develop an electric system is going to have to walk through those same gates.
Again, it's interesting to see you guys on the leading edge of this. We will look forward to seeing the news of your test flight.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's there's a few things with communication that we need to address, and after that, definitely watch the news and come check out our website, sonixaircraft.com. Sign up for our eFlight newsletter if you're interested in that, and check out the other items. And we promise we'll continue to update the public on this very exciting project.
Jeremy Monette is the CEO of Sonix Aircraft. In a moment, more on that new turbocharged four-banger. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
This AeroCast segment is sponsored by ForeFlight, makers of ForeFlight Mobile HD, the elegantly designed iPad and iPhone app for pilots. Learn more about ForeFlight's new touch-based flight planning capability. Build complex flight plans and bend routes around weather in just seconds using only your fingers. With HD Nexrad, VFR and IFR charts, terminal procedures, a comprehensive AFD, and now touch planning. Visit us online at www.foreflight.com. ForeFlight. Intelligent apps for pilots.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Leading the way to a new generation of aircraft, Eclipse Aerospace introduces the Total Eclipse twin-engine jet. The Total Eclipse is a sophisticated, high-performance aircraft with low operating costs, low environmental impact, and uncompromised safety. Every Total Eclipse jet comes with flights to 41,000 feet, max cruise speeds of 370 knots, an onboard color radar with electronic moving maps and e-charts. And, of course, every Total Eclipse comes complete with a factory warranty. Log on to eclipseaerospace.net for more information.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Back here at Oshkosh in the Sonix booth, this time with Mark Schaible, who handles PR marketing for Sonix. And we want to talk about power plants, continue talking about power plants, but shift from electricity to dead dinosaurs. Mark, I didn't really know if there would be an incremental update to talk about when we got to your booth, and then I spotted the Aero V Turbo. Let's start by telling our listeners about the basic engine before we go to the turbo, in case they have not seen it or are not familiar with it, and the AeroCarb.
Sure. Thanks, Paul. The Aero V is basically a big bore and stroke 2180 VW conversion. It uses a VW racing core, so it's all high-end aftermarket racing parts, all readily available and manufactured in large quantity. It's basically the culmination of about 40 years of development, the work done by John Monette since he started working with VWs. So we've come a long way with the engine. It's now the most popular option for the Sonix aircraft by about 2-to-1 versus the Jabber 3300 for the builders with the extra money that want more horsepower. It is also marketed for use on a wide range of other aircraft, anything that can use 80 horsepower and that will fit within the weight range.
Tell us about the progression to the Aero-V Turbo. What prompted it and where are you in the project?
Well, obviously everybody wants more power. The Sonics line of aircraft were all designed to use 80 horsepower and get really good performance. And I think the fact that the Jabber 3300 came along and is usable in the airplane kind of colors people's perceptions of what's required for the airframe. But again, everybody wants more power. People have been turbocharging VWs and racing applications for years, getting huge amounts of horsepower out of the engine. We obviously want to baby the engine, and we always have done so with the Aero-V. It's a very conservative application of the engine core so that we can get acceptable maintenance intervals. The Turbo, we approach it with the same philosophy. We're using very conservative boost, only about 4 or 5 pounds. We want to be able to stick with a fixed pitch propeller and not have to complicate things with an in-flight adjustable prop and create, you know, a more complex aircraft to operate as well. And we want the engine to be able to continue to last and have an acceptable overhaul period.
Does it change any of the approach in terms of where you make your horsepower? This engine comes on in the mid 3000 RPM range, which some people have decided not to use a direct drive application because they want a larger prop and get more efficiency and so forth. Is the turbo version calibrated the same in terms of where it makes its peak power, or do you try to bump that down a little like Continental has done recently?
No, we stay in the same RPM range. We've put a lot of work into running direct drive and coming up with a propeller that is shaped and sized appropriately to run in that power band and be efficient. And we've done so very successfully. There's very marginal increases available via reduction drives versus what we're doing now. And they come at what we feel is really just an unacceptable penalty in terms of cost and weight. With the turbo, we're running in that same 3,000 RPM range. We like to cruise at about 3,100, 3,150 RPM. We make our peak horsepower at 34. With the turbo, it's the same situation. We're just running a more aggressively pitched prop. We've seen in the extensive ground testing that we've done with the turbo, we've been able to turn props at the desired RPM that calculated it's showing that we're making over 100 horsepower. So we want to continue to turn the prop in that same RPM range, but we're just using a different prop, something more along the lines of what we'd use on the Jabber 3300. The great thing is that a turbo, obviously, will not change the amount of power output as you gain altitude. So even though we have less horsepower on the ground, even with the turbocharger than the 3300 Jabru, the potential is that at 8,000 feet we'll be making more power and we'll be going even faster.
Do you have any idea how much excess you have through the wastegate to compensate for altitude? I mean, how high could you fly it and still maintain ground-rated power?
We don't know. And the only thing that I can say to that, and I'll let the engineers, you know, handle that question in more accurate detail, but the only thing I can really say to that is that, again, we're running really conservative boost. So we have a lot of room to get more out of it. And again, as you gain power, if we have to increase boost to maintain power, we're not going to be taxing the engine any more than we are on the ground at the current amount of boost.
Well, it's really interesting. How should people find out more about it? Is the Turbo project on the website yet?
It is not. The Turbo has been kind of a sleeper. We rolled it out here at the show just kind of by sitting the engine in our tent in the R&D area. And so after the show, we'll be putting some information up on it. But really, you know, it's it has significant implications, but there isn't really that much to say. It's a turbocharger. We fit it to the Aero-V. We've run it on the ground. It's very promising thus far, and we have to fly it. And once we fly it, we'll know more about how well the engine does with it. So far, we haven't created a tremendous amount of heat, and everything's pointing to supporting the idea that it will work well. We have to prove that, and that will only come with flight time. And once that's done, you'll hear more from us.
Well, we really appreciate it, Mark. You guys are really innovators in a lot of areas, and you're a breath of fresh air for a lot of people in an overpriced LSA world. And this engine setup just kind of is an extension of that philosophy.
Yeah, and that's the whole philosophy behind our company. It drives everything we do every day. More and more people are finding us and kind of seeing the light, especially as everyone's pocketbooks are getting tighter in today's economy. What we're doing just makes sense for more and more people.
You can find out more about the eFlight Initiative on the Sonics Aircraft website at sonicsaircraft.com. There's still no information there about the Aero V Turbo, but look for its addition as the engine moves closer to introduction. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.